Well, congregation, our scripture reading this evening, you'll find it in the Old Testament in the book of Psalms, in Psalm number 24. Psalm number 24, a psalm of David, and you'll notice it's entitled The King of Glory and His Kingdom. Well, let us hear God's word as we find it here in Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up, you everlasting doors, and the King of Glory shall come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory, Selah. Amen. May God bless that reading of his word. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, as you know, today is the day in which we celebrate the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ, that glorious event in the life of our Savior when 40 days after he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven itself. And having ascended into heaven, as you know, he sat down on the right hand of God the Father in glory and in power. And he will remain in that position until he comes again to judge the living and the dead on the last day. And the ascension of the Lord Jesus then, it marked the triumphant conclusion of the work of redemption which the Father had sent his Son to this earth to complete. For you see, it was because he had finished the work that the Father had sent him to do, that he could ascend into heaven, that he could take his lawful place there at the right hand of God as heaven's rightful King and Lord. Well, this evening I want to look at the event of the ascension of the Lord Jesus into heaven then by looking at Psalm 24, which is one of the great ascension psalms of the Old Testament. And as such then, it provides us with a prophetic window through which we can view the events of the ascension and the glorious arrival of the Lord Jesus, the King of Glory, into heaven itself. And so I want to take as our theme tonight, the King of Glory. And I want to draw your attention to three things about this King which are highlighted for us here in Psalm 24. Firstly, his reign. Secondly, his righteousness. And then lastly, his reception, his reign, his righteousness, and his reception. Well, firstly then, let us consider his reign. And we find this brought before us in the opening two verses of this psalm, which describe for us the greatness of the King of Glory, the extent of his reign and dominion. For if you have your Bible open, you look at those verses. We're told there the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. And of course, these verses, they're referring us back to the work of God at creation. They take us back to what God did in Genesis 1 and 2. Where he created all things out of nothing. Well, you remember he separated the land above from the waters above and the waters below. And where he simply spoke the word He called all things into being. The light, the earth, the sun, the moon, and the stars. All of the planets, every galaxy near and far. He called the entire universe into being by the word of his power. And the Lord also brought into being all of the animals, all of the creatures that are here on earth and in the sea and above the earth and under the earth, all according to their types and kinds, as well as every plant and tree according to its kind. And then God, he created man as his image bearer, male and female, he created them. And these opening verses of Psalm 24, then they're underscoring very clearly, very forcefully, the fact that the King of Glory, the Lord Yahweh, he and he alone is the creator of all things. In fact, in the Hebrew, the very first word of this psalm, it is Yahweh. It reads emphatically, Yahweh's is the earth and everything in it. Or to Yahweh belongs the earth and everything in it. And our attention is drawn here at the very outset of this psalm to the fact that as the creator of all things, the Lord Jesus, the one through whom are all things and through whom all things exist, he is the sovereign and rightful king over all that he has created. If you see the whole world, it belongs to the Lord our God, for he is King of kings, he is Lord of lords. And therefore, it's his by right as its king and creator. Because he's the one who made it. He's the one who continues to sustain and uphold it and all of its fullness in being. And David, of the author of this psalm, the people of Israel then, they were being reminded here not to think of God as simply a local deity, a God like unto the gods of the nations around them, who each occupied their own little sphere of influence and activity. No, they were to have a right understanding of who God truly is, of what he is like, that he is the God of all the earth. He is the sovereign King of glory, who reigns supreme in heaven above and here in the earth beneath. And friends, is that not a tremendous comfort and encouragement to you and I to reflect upon this evening also as we think about our ascended Lord and King, Jesus Christ? If you see, we too are to remember who our Lord and Savior is. He is God over all. He is the one who sits seated upon his throne in heaven as the eternal King of glory. For you see, having finished the work here on earth that the Father gave him to do, the Father has now exalted him to his right hand once again. He's given him dominion over all things. And therefore he exercises that right of absolute dominion to do according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can restrain his hand or say to him then, what have you done? And how we need to be reminded of these things over and over again to help us to maintain a right perspective in life, especially at a time such as this. When we look out in our world, we see that it's filled with so much uncertainty, so much change. And we don't know what tomorrow might yet bring. But you see, though that may be true, can we not rest in the knowledge that whatever may happen here, it is all happening under the sovereign reign and control of our great ascended King and Lord, Jesus Christ, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who has the whole world in his hands. And that means that not so much as a hair on our heads can fall to the ground then without his permission? Well, friends, make no mistake about it. The Lord Jesus is heaven's King, sits upon his throne of majesty, arrayed in glory and power. For you see, as we read in Psalm 2, the Father has set him on his holy hill of Zion, and he will reign there until every enemy has been put under his feet, and he has gathered all of his people to himself in heaven, the holy place of God. Well, that brings us then in the second place to consider the righteousness of the King of Glory. For you see, we need to go on to answer the question which the psalmist David asks here in verse 3 of this psalm, as he thinks on the majesty and dominion of the Lord in his dwelling place in heaven. The question that is asked here, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? In other words, the psalmist is asking here, in light of what he knows about God, not just as the creator of all things, but also as the Holy One of Israel, to whom all people owe their allegiance. He's asking, how can we who are sinful and fallen people, we who are the objects of God's wrath by nature, those who have rebelled against the Lord our King, who have thrown off the rule of God and his anointed Son and gone our own way in life, and who only deserve his wrath and condemnation then, how is it that we can possibly have any hope of approaching this glorious God and King in heaven, to come before him and dwell with him there? Well, friends, that's the question that we all need to have answered. For remember, as Isaiah says, our iniquities, they've separated us from our God. Our sins have hidden his face from us. And therefore, we must inquire, as the psalmist does elsewhere in Psalm 130, if the Lord should mark our iniquities against us, then who could possibly stand before him in his holy place in glory? I mean, is there any possibility of any one of us ever being accepted into the holy presence of our God to enjoy an audience with him? You see, that's what the references that are here to the hill of the Lord and his holy place and seeking the face of God, that's what they're ultimately referring to. And yes, these verses, they take the reader back in the first instance to the times of Old Testament worship, when the worshippers of God, they would get ready to ascend the hill which Jerusalem was built on to go up to worship God in the temple. And the question they would ask on these occasions was, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? And the answer was, he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol nor sworn deceitfully. And you see, they were to ask these questions to remind themselves of the kind of worshiper the Lord was seeking, for the kind of worship which would be acceptable and pleasing to him was the worship of someone whose deeds and heart were pure, someone whose conduct was righteous, whose inward motives and character were righteous. But of course, the question that any honest worshiper had to ask at this point, whether then or now, is if this is what God requires for us, to come into his holy presence and please him, then we must ask, is there anyone who qualifies? Is there anyone who truly meets these requirements? Can anyone be found anywhere who can stand before God and say that they can come into his holy presence, having fully fulfilled these demands? And of course, the answer to these questions is that none of us by nature is able to meet these exacting standards. And so where does that leave us then? When we seek to come to worship God, when we seek His face and favor. Well, friends, it leaves us confronted with our need of a righteousness that is not our own. A perfect righteousness, which only God Himself can provide for us, which will enable us to come before Him. But you see, that is what we are also called to reflect upon today as we think about our ascended Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the King of Glory. We're to think about His perfect righteousness. For you see, the only reason you or I or anyone else can ever expect to be accepted with God when we approach unto Him is because there is one who has now ascended the hill of the Lord in absolute moral integrity with clean hands and a pure heart. And that is the Lord Jesus Himself. Isn't that what the writer to the Hebrews reminds us of? In verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 9, when he tells us there that Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. And that, boys and girls, is a reference to the tabernacle and the temple, which he goes on to say are but copies or faint shadows of the true tabernacle or temple of God, which is heaven itself. And you see, that is where Christ now appears in the presence of God for us, because He is perfectly qualified to do so. Because He appears there, arrayed now in His own perfect, sinless, spotless righteousness, as our glorious advocate with the Father. And because that is so, we can now come into the presence of God and be accepted with Him. And friends, how that ought to thrill our hearts then, this evening, as we think about these things. For you see, whenever the Lord Jesus ascended into heaven, He brought with Him that once for all perfect sacrifice that He offered for the sins of His people, so that the way back to God and heaven and acceptance with Him, it might be forever secured for them. And the message of the ascension then, it's that all those who are in Christ by faith, they can now ascend the hill of the Lord. They can enter into the holy place of God without fear of rejection. Because you see, friends, when we believe in Jesus, His obedience becomes our obedience. His righteousness, it becomes our righteousness. His clean hands, they become our clean hands. And His pure heart, it becomes our pure heart. And child of God, here then, you may be conscious of your own unworthiness to come to God, to seek His face, to receive any blessing from Him. But you are to rejoice this evening in the ascension of your Savior. For it is because He has ascended into heaven as your righteous King and High Priest that you can now come to God with boldness, with the full assurance that He will not turn you away. On the contrary, friend, He will lavish His grace upon you, and you will receive blessing and righteousness from Him for Christ's sake. Well, the Lord Jesus has ascended to the Father's right hand then, and heaven has now received its King. And that's what I want to consider briefly in the last place then, the reception of the King of glory into heaven. For that's what the last part of this psalm is focusing our attention upon by describing the arrival of Christ into heaven in the form here of a dialogue between the gates of heaven and the angels of heaven. And as you can see from verses 7 to 10, the angels, they speak first here by telling the doors of heaven and its gates twice here to lift up their heads that the King of Glory may come in to heaven. And you see, these gates, they're being personified here then as lifting up their heads, just like a person would do in a moment of triumph. You see, the ascension of Christ, it was a time for everything in heaven to rejoice in triumph. Because the very one who had passed through these same gates 34 years prior to this, he was to accomplish the work of redemption which the Father had given him to complete. He was now returning in triumph as a conquering king who had finished the task assigned to him. And so when the gates respond here to his arrival with this question, who is this King of Glory? The answer is given. The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Because friends, this is none other than the eternal Son of God, who in human nature defeated all of his enemies in battle, because through his life, his death, his resurrection, he conquered sin and Satan and the grave once and for all. And now he is pictured here then, returning in victory from the place of battle as a conquering warrior, to take up his rightful place once again in heavenly glory at the Father's right hand. Well, child of God, that is your King and mine then, the King of Glory, who has now been received into heaven. And he will remain there until every last one of his enemies and your enemies have been made his footstool. For you see, he must reign there until he has put all of his enemies under his feet. And what a reason for rejoicing the ascension of the Lord Jesus is then. For never forget, child of God, that the Lord Jesus, he is our forerunner. He's the one who's gone before us into heaven to prepare a place for us there, that where he is, there we may be also. And however hard and difficult our lives may be here on earth then, we must never forget that Christ's ascension to heaven, it guarantees our own ascension to heaven. And as Paul reminds us then, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory that will far outweigh all of the troubles of this life and will last forever. And child of God, keep looking to your ascended victorious King then to strengthen you, to keep you from day to day, that you too may be victorious in battle, that you too may endure to the end in fulfilling your calling here in life. For remember, the Lord of hosts, he is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And you can be confident of this very thing then, that he who has begun a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until that day when grace will finally give way to glory, and the gates of heaven will once more be opened to receive you into your true home with Christ in that place that he is even now preparing for you there. Well, friends, may God bless these few thoughts on the ascension of the Lord Jesus to all of our hearts and minds this evening. Stir up our hearts to live for the King of Glory in all that we do. Amen. Well, congregation, let us come to our great King in prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we do come to you, the King of Glory, and we thank you that we can bless and praise your great and holy name, and that you are the one who left the glory that you enjoyed with your Father from all eternity, that you came to this broken, sin-cursed world, you took upon yourself the form of a servant, that you might take our place in life and in death, that you might rise victorious over death and the grave, that you might ascend once again into the heights of glory and heaven above, and that you might sit enthroned in glory and majesty at the right hand of your Father in heaven and our Father in heaven, where you are now ruling and reigning and exercising your right of kingship and dominion over all the earth. And we do pray, Lord, that we would recognize that you are heaven's King. You are the darling of heaven, the one who has a right to rule and reign in our own hearts and in our lives. And we do pray then, Lord, that we would yield ourselves up to you, that we would indeed give you the place that belongs to you upon the throne of our hearts, to sit there as King, that your will might be done, not only in heaven, but here on earth, in us and through us, as we yield up the members of our bodies and our minds in your service, so that through the powerful working of your Spirit within us, you can bring to pass your purposes here on this earth. And help us to be instruments in your hand then for the fulfillment of your will in all things. And we do pray, Lord, that we would long to see your reign established here on earth, that we would long for that day when all of your people will be gathered together as one in glory with you, when all enemies will finally be put under your feet, and the church triumphant will dwell in glory with you in the new heavens and the new earth, to reign with you as joint heirs with you there, to walk with you, to enjoy unbroken fellowship and communion with you. And we pray then that that would be our delight, that would be our greatest joy, to know you, to walk with you, to live for you. Help us to do so in the rest of this week. Help us to honor you as our King, as our Lord, to crown you with many crowns, to yield up our hearts and lives to you in all that we think, say, and do. Bless your word, apply it to our hearts, we ask. Pardon all that was sinful, forgive our every shortcoming. We ask it all in your own precious name and for your sake. Amen.